This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 90 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm excited, David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how are you?
Hi, David. I'm good. I'm doing well. Hope everything is good with you. We have some interesting stories this week.
Oh, absolutely. Today is, as we're recording this, it's Monday, I don't even know what day it is.
No, it's not Monday. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. See, folks, this is how messed up I've been, but I've gone fanboy this week. Today, they released the Star Wars trailer, so I got excited and other things, but we got a lot of topics to talk about, and I apologize for last week about me being a little out of sorts, but unfortunately, we had a passing in the family that needed to be addressed, so I appreciate Max for accommodating me last Thursday morning, though being up at 8 o'clock in the morning and recording is not our cup of tea, is it, Max?
It's hard to talk that early in the morning, I'll tell you.
So, for topics tonight, we've got pepper spraying drones for mob control. We got 3D robotics going solo. And speaking of solo, if you haven't seen it yet when you hear this, you need to go look at the new Star Wars trailer. Go ahead, put us on pause, we'll wait, and there'll be a link in the show notes. Did it? Great. And we got an opinion on how the FAA can do a better job. Auburn University is getting a UAV school. We've got a video of the week and some funny sounding feedback. Besides the new trailer coming out, we got some breaking news today. And I keep telling Max we need breaking news music, but he can't seem to find any.
I'll have to find something.
Our favorite military drone, the X-47B, did something amazing today. At least I think it's amazing. One of the toughest things besides landing on an aircraft carrier, which we know it's already done, is air-to-air refueling using a probe and drogue. And believe it or not, and this is from Foxtrot Alpha at Jalopnik.com, the X-47 got plugged in today, and the Omega Tanker 707 that Patuxent River uses to refuel their test aircraft got to refuel the X-47B. Now, it's not quite past gas yet. That's supposed to occur when we're recording this on the Friday after we record this, so we'll probably talk more about this next week, but it's pretty awesome to see a photograph of a UAV refueling itself by a probe and drogue. So that's just awesome.
This is something, and it's pretty significant, I think. And this is, it's an autonomous refueling, right, David?
It plugged in by itself.
Wow. I wonder if the guys on the KC-707 were a little bit nervous about that.
Well, the only saving grace about this is it was using a probe and drogue. So the drogue usually is streamed out behind the aircraft, unlike the Air Force ones where they use the boom, where you actually have a direct hard link to the aircraft. In this case, drogues break off all the time. There's a lot of videos out there of F-18s and then Tomcats and A-6s where they've had bad patches of air and broke off the drogue from wherever they were refueling with really minimal damage to either aircraft. So in that case, it's still pretty awesome. So we'll talk more about this next week.
All right. What's next?
Well, let's talk more about weaponized UAVs. In this case, this was from our friend Max Trescott. India wants to use small UASs with pepper spray. Kind of disturbing, huh, Max?
It really is. This is from the senior superintendent of police in the northern city of Lucknow in India. And he says that they are going to use small drones They're going to equip them with cameras, but also pepper spray, and you use those when they have mobs or unruly crowds. I mean, we talk about weaponizing drones. I don't know. This kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth, David. I don't know about you. I think that there's a lot of people that are a little concerned about the police establishment using drones in this way. I mean, I can understand it, but I don't know. This could be going down a bad path.
But the term I use is creepy. It's just, it's kind of Terminator-esque, or, you know, any of these science fiction movies where you have the government controlling everything.
Apparently, they've had at least some drones, some small quadcopters, I guess. They have four of them now. They say they're going to purchase a fifth one. These cost between, around $10,000 to $20,000, somewhere in that range. I'm not sure exactly what they're using or why the difference in cost. But they have used them in the past to monitor crowds, not with the pepper spray, just the camera looking at the crowds. There was, a religious festival where they tried this out. So they have some precedent for using them for watching crowds. Going after a crowd with pepper spray, I'm not sure that wouldn't just incite the crowd even more with, worse consequences than if they'd, used some other method of crowd control.
We've seen over our time, I forget where it was. Maybe it was a Los Angeles game or somebody was videotaping a crowd after a sporting event with a drone, and literally the mob decided to go after the drone and take it out. And that was just videotaping. It wasn't even armed. So, yeah, this is kind of a disturbing trend. And let's hope that they do this, but they don't have to use it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk Solo. Sorry, folks. Still in that Star Wars
kick. You can't stay away from that, can you?
No, I can't. It's just too good. I'm like back in 1977 again. It's just so good. 3D Robotics takes on DJI with the Solo smart drone. And we've got a couple articles. One was from Engadget.com, and the other one was from TheVerge.com. And we talked about the Solo and 3D Robotics, 3JI, we've combined the two now, 3D Robotics last week when DJI brought out their new Phantom, but it was just a preview, and now we've got some details. And this is a pretty phenomenal quadcopter. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, not only does it look good, all in black, but it's got some real interesting capabilities. Not only does it have the flight controller, but it's got a second 1 gigahertz computer on board that it can use, so that if you have applications, you don't have to tax the flight controller, that computer as well. So that's pretty powerful. They've also done some work with GoPro to bring some kind of interesting new capabilities to this little quadcopter.
Yeah, and the Solo is BYOG, folks, just so you know, which is bring your own GoPro. The two price points are $1,000 or $999, depending upon who you talk to, or for just the quadcopter itself. Now, if you want their GoPro gimbal mount, it's an additional $500. So you're talking $1,399 or $1,400. But that being said, some of the really cool things that it can do is live HD 720 streaming in real time from the GoPro. The full access to the computing power on the GoPro camera can be accessed via the smartphone app or on the controller. So you can do things that, as 3D has described, photographers have wanted for a while now, which is you can actually stop and start the GoPro. Right now, basically anything that carries a GoPro is you take it off and you start videotaping, and when it gets on the ground, you turn it off. You can change the frame rate. That's just awesome. And any other variable settings on the GoPro are accessible. So pretty neat. One of the explanations, though, about why they didn't include the camera with the quadcopter was from Colin Gwynn. Now, Colin is got an interesting history because he was the former CEO of DJI's North America division and left them in evidently quite a controversy and to become senior vice president of sales and marketing at 3DR. And he quotes saying, 90% of our buyers already own GoPros. That means we can put more of that cost and more of that technology into the Solo. So they're not trying to make a complete package. They're letting the camera people do the camera stuff and they'll focus on the quadcopter.
Yeah, and kind of makes sense. But as we said, they worked really closely with GoPro on this. And I think it's just amazing that, you know, that they have or that the Solo has access to the software, to the system in the GoPro so that you have the ability to control the camera, you know, via that means. That's gigantically powerful, it seems. Another thing that was kind of interesting is they have this cable cam capability where you specify two points and the Solo will fly the path from one to the next. And you can then focus on or concentrate on operating the camera. Although you can, I guess, in automated fashion, have it change the angles along the path. So, for example, you could fly over something and kind of sweep over it with the camera, focusing on that particular object that you're flying over as it goes above. It's just really fantastic. I think videographers are going to find a lot of reasons to look very carefully at this Solo.
And I like, they actually are focusing a lot on the customer too. One of the ways they're trying to differentiate themselves from DJI is the craft comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, which is unheard of in the industries. And then I read this, and I secretly love this, which is, and quote, the Solo app detects crashes and will ask you if you want to submit a trouble ticket in the event something goes wrong. If it's your fault, 3DR will offer to sell you a refurbished unit at a lower cost. And if the flight logs show the Solo was at fault, 3DR will replace your drone along with your gimbal and GoPro if they also perished at no cost. Way to put a warranty behind your product. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, that's pretty strong. That's really something special. You know, David, we're kind of starting to sound like a 3D robotics commercial here. So, I mean, that's not our intent. Just the fact that this is offering so many different capabilities. And it looks like a real competitor now for the DJI Phantom. And, you know, that's good. See a little competition heating up here. And, you know, that'll only help bring even better products to consumer and as well as, in this case, better warranties.
So I guess we'll move on from the breaking quadcopter news of the last 2 weeks. And this one was from, this next story is from Forbes. FAA speeds up small drone exceptions, but why not just issue a blanket exception?
Yeah, this is an opinion piece. It's pretty good as far as opinion pieces go. It was written by John Gaglia, who's an airline industry writer, but he's looking at the Section 333 exemption process. And he's noting that, you know, these are kind of issued individually, one at a time. I mean, sometimes we see batches of 30, but generally it's a process of examining the exemption requests individually. Although he says that the FAA stated, and this is a quote, that although the FAA still reviews each Section 333 petition individually, the agency can issue a summary grant when it finds it has already granted a previous exemption similar to the new request. Summary grants are far more efficient because they don't need to repeat the analysis performed for the original exemption on which they are based. So the author here draws a conclusion from that, doesn't he, David?
Basically, he implies that if you're going to issue an exemption for one, why don't you just issue a blank exemption for, in this case, he refers to the DJI Phantom, and issue a blanket exemption for all DJI Phantoms. Now, this kind of plays into our next story, which is he refers to the Auburn University getting schools for UAVs, and the exemption they were given was based on the fact that they fly a Phantom 2. So he thinks that basically anybody who's flying a Phantom 2 should be given the 333 exemption. I don't know if that's good or bad. I have mixed emotions about this. It makes sense on paperwork, but does it actually make sense that, you know, Max Flight operating his DJI Phantom 2 and David Vanderhoof operating his Phantom 2, are they going to, under the same exemption, are they going to fly the same way, or are we just opening it up to a can of worms?
Yeah, there's a difference between, in my mind anyway, between the mission to be flown and the hardware or the aircraft, let's say, to be used. And I see those as being two different things. I mean, I think the FAA is and should be concerned about whether a particular UAS can be flown safely or can be operated safely. And then there's the mission, and how are you going to fly that? So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, can Phantoms be flown safely? Yes. I mean, it has the capability to be flown safely. But what you do with it, how you fly it, where you fly it, under what circumstances and so forth, is a different issue. So I don't think it makes sense to say something like all Phantoms have an exemption, go do whatever you want to do as long as it's with a Phantom, for example. But this Auburn University news is pretty exciting. This is approval for a new unmanned aircraft systems flight school to be part of their existing aviation center. Auburn has been training pilots for manned flight for a long time, I think almost 75 years. And they offer degrees in aviation and aerospace. And so now Auburn is looking at a training school that's consistent, it would seem, with the requirements that the FAA has proposed in the NPRM.
And Bill Hutto, which is the director of Auburn University's Aviation Center, says, quote, "We will conduct commercial flight training for operators of unmanned aircraft systems outdoors and untethered. We have the ability to offer training courses at different locations here and around the state for Auburn students, faculty members, and other public agencies and the general public." So they're looking at it. They see a market in, I mean, flight schools are expensive, and maybe this is another branch out for them to do. And who knows, you might get pilots becoming operators and operators going on to get their pilot's license, which is a good way to leverage it. The other part about it is they're looking beyond just students. They're looking at faculty and the general public. So Auburn would really do well by maybe having a seminar course on a weekend, on a Saturday, you know, how to fly your quadcopter safely. So I like the fact that they're thinking not beyond aviation students, but to across all spectrums, and to provide competent learning to people who are flying these things. And that's one of those big challenges that we've talked about a lot over the last year.
You know, David, I'm curious to see what develops, because I can envision the manned flight people like Auburn University and many others developing training programs for UAS pilots. And I can also envision perhaps, the drone people developing training programs for UAS pilots. So there could be, two groups of people coming at it from two different directions. And I wonder if the resulting programs are pretty similar, or if the manned aviation people, bring things that the unmanned crowd doesn't, and vice versa. I think it'd be interesting to see. I think, each of these schools, as they develop and mature, will be, I think, somewhat unique. I mean, I don't think that the training programs per se are mandated under the FAA's proposal, only that, you know, they pass a written test afterwards. But how you get to that test could be accomplished by different kinds of schools in different ways. So maybe that's kind of a long way of saying that I think it bears watching how these training programs turn out.
Well, I guess another one of those things is I was going to say bias, but perspective. They might market it that way too. You know, it's Auburn training the pilot way for UAV operators, or I don't know, University of North Dakota training drone pilots to be drone pilots. You know, that kind of you pick and choose your school. So good for Auburn. Another reason to root for their football team, because they're going to have a drone program. So I guess we'll move on to. This is becoming as bad as the FAA News Weekly.
Amazon News, right?
Amazon News. We're going to start having an Amazon News segment. So in keeping with the Star Wars theme this week, we're going to talk about the Amazon saga and how it continues. And this was from FlightGlobal.com. FAA permits Amazon to test new UAV model. Okay, well, yeah, well, and everyone's saying, well, didn't the FAA approve Amazon to test a UAV, but Amazon then came back and said, well, you took so long that the UAV you're telling us we can test is no longer in like production, and we've moved on to bigger and better UAV. So how are we going to test that one? So the FAA, good for them, came back and said, we're granting the exemption grants you a Amazon designed multi-rotor helicopter. We're not saying which one it is, but that implies that you can go test your new one.
In the letter that's quoted from the FAA, I thought it was kind of interesting that Amazon manufactured multi-rotor was called as being described to the FAA in a confidential filing. So obviously, there are a lot of companies who are interested in package delivery by drone, and Amazon is investing in developing an aircraft, a drone that's capable of doing that. And they don't want everybody else to see that, but they did have to show the FAA. So that's kind of interesting because, you know, we see the video, the Amazon video of this package delivery drone, but who knows what the real drone that they're working with looks like and what capabilities it has. I'm sure they don't want to tip their hand.
No, and it is. I did find that. I also found that interesting that it's classified. We could tell you about it, but then we'd have to kill you, to quote Top Gun. So good for Amazon. But that being said, there was more to the exemption, which was 400 feet. Line of sight, daylight hours. So they're not happy because they want to test beyond line of sight.
Yeah, you can't.
Above 400 feet. So, yeah, the FAA budged one way, but there'll be more later on.
Yeah, and hence we see Amazon testing reportedly in Canada. Well, all right, David, you kind of garnered a little bit of notoriety recently over at the UAV Coach, didn't you?
Folks, I'm going to apologize for some coughing that I've been doing through this episode. But yes, for some reason, the UAVcoach.com contacted me because they wanted my expert, and I put expert in quotes, folks, because I'm just a commentator. I'm not an expert.
Oh, I think you know more than you might admit, David. I consider you an expert.
Well, I thank you. And I've learned everything from you.
I know that's not true.
Okay, are we done the Mutual Admiration Society? Yeah.
Okay, now we can get on with the story here. So the UAV Coach asked a question.
They did. And of course, you know me, I can't answer it normally. They asked, if you could only choose one drone accessory, which one would you choose and why? And they asked 33 experts of various people in the field. In fact, Tim Trott, one of our former guests, as well as Parker Jokers, provided their answers. And favorite drone systems accessories, as voted by the 33 experts, was an FPV system. There were 5 votes for that. A camera was 4 votes. A 3-axis gimbal and extra batteries, tied with 3 votes each. a landing pad and telemetry system, tied with 2 votes each, and all others, 1 vote each.
And David, which category did you fall into?
I fell into the all others category. Yeah. Because I always think out of the box, folks. So I will read you my answer, and you'll have to tell me what you think. I am far from being a drone pilot. For Christmas, I received an SD Synchro that has spent more time bouncing into walls than flying straight and level. With that being said, the single most important accessory that I have derived from my UAV Digest experiences is to use common sense. Be smart. Think before you fly. Over the long run, it will save you time, money, and possibly your business. And that was my best accessory, was use your head, folks.
I like that, David. Well done.
So definitely go over and check out UAV Coach. Hopefully we'll get them on as guests. They were really nice guys, and they really did a good job with this. And it's interesting what people predicted. There are other unique ones also that, if you read through them, are pretty interesting. So I guess we'll move on to, now that we've talked about me long enough, we'll move on to the video of the week. And this was from our listener down in New Zealand, Errol. And it was a Dragonfly Vanuatu Disaster Relief 2015. So you want to give us a brief summary, Max?
It's really a documentary video, and it shows the story of this 240-foot motor yacht that they call the Dragonfly, that provided some support to the Vanuatu Island after this giant tropical cyclone Pam just really devastated the place. And they have some great video, a lot of it shot by quadcopter, that shows the island before the cyclone. Very beautiful, just fantastic inhabitants, just really a wonderful place. And then a video after the cyclone where the devastation is just unbelievable. They mentioned that 90% of the structures were destroyed on the island. When they arrived there from this yacht, there was no water that was uncontaminated. There was just no drinking water at all. The island folks had about 3 or 4 days of food, and flying this quadcopter, surveying the sort of the devastation, they didn't see any animals, none, nothing. So they got involved in this relief effort, which included bringing water in, food in, medical supplies, and so forth. So this video kind of documents all of this. It's not a video about UAVs, but it's an important video that tells an important story through the video of UAVs and some others. There's some helicopter shots and some other things as well, but there's a lot of UAV action there.
Watch it, folks. That's the best thing to say. And again, we'd like to thank Errol. Shout out to our New Zealand team down there who's always sending us good stories and looking out for us. So I guess we should get to some feedback, huh, Max?
Yes, we heard from Nathan. Nathan had a couple of points to make. The first one, he called us out. We goofed, David.
We did, but unlike a lot of other places and other talk show hosts, we admit when we're wrong.
Oh, yes. Plus, we have such great listeners that will let us know when we're wrong. This is about the DJI software development kit. We had talked about 3D robotics having one last week and made the comment that DJI didn't seem to have something. Well, it turns out they do. They have a great developer website. It's dev.dji.com. They have a developer program, an SDK. They have some apps out there already available. The kit supports the Phantom 2 Vision and the Phantom 2 Vision Plus. We also understand that they will be supporting the Phantom 3 and the Inspire 1. And currently, as far as operating systems supported, they support iOS and Android. And DJI says support for Windows Phone is coming soon. So wanted to thank Nathan for giving us that information, pointing that out to us. We kind of apologize for kind of not giving DJI the credit that they really deserve.
Now, come on. We need to tell what else he cherry-picked at us.
Okay, so Nathan, so, do you want to tell the story?
I'll take this because okay, I'm okay. Always a kid. Folks, the more you listen to me, you realize that I pronounce things wrong because I talk funny. And he says, very diplomatically, I can't tell which one of you, but it's time after time I've noticed that you call DJI, DGI. Not trying to be a pain in the butt, but I just wanted to offer some kind feedback. Well, I talk funny, and my J's have become G's. So in my show notes now, when we have that their specific Phantom 2 producer, I have literally taken to writing D-E-E space J-A-Y space E-Y-E, which is the title of this week's episode, D-J-I. If I slipped a G, I apologize, but I'm trying to make a conscious effort, and I do appreciate Nathan for his tact, and I wasn't insulted at all. You know, it's just sometimes we talk fast, and we talk funny here in Philly. So with that, we only got one more week of this, Max.
That's right.
I don't know what I'm going to do the first week in May when we won't have anything to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have something to talk about, but we won't be talking about the number of comments received for the NPRM. We've been reporting the numbers each episode for a few weeks here, and there's 1 week left. Comments to the NPRM need to be in honor before April 24th. That's this year, 2015. So you just have a little bit of time left if you have not yet submitted your comment. We make it easy for you to find the NPRM. Just if you visit the uavdigest.com/NPRM, that will redirect you to the government webpage where you can find the NPRM and also where you can submit your comments electronically. And so far, well, as of today, with a week left to go, the FAA has received 3,459 comments.
I didn't think it was going to be that many.
That's a lot of comments.
And even if 10% are extremely valid, that's 350 for all intents and purposes. So it's going to be a long time. I mean, good for the industry and good for, you know, I hope that more than 10% are substantive, but the FAA is going to have to work really hard to go through these proposals. And a lot of the ones I've read have been well thought out, and some of them are not so well thought out.
Yeah.
But overall, I think people are actually have been putting a conscious effort into it.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of you for listening to the UAV Digest. This has been episode 90. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. You can also go straight to the show notes for this episode at theuavdigest.com/90. You'll find links to all the articles that we mentioned, the companies we talk about, and that sort of thing. So that can be a useful resource for you. And we're also out on social media.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at the UAV Digest, on Facebook at /UAV Digest. And of course, we always want listener mail. We want feedback from you. And that address is feedback@theuavdigest.com. Now, if you'd like to write to Max, just take the word feedback off and put in the word Max. Or if you want to write to David, take the word Max off and write to David. And of course, we're found on iTunes. We need people to leave feedback because if you leave it on iTunes, other people can find us. If you stream us to your phone using Stitcher, leave a comment there. I'm sorry, folks. I apologize in advance. Two more weeks and I'm going to be operated on. So I'm trying to do the best I can. Just forgive me. And eventually I will come out of the other side of this and I will sound like my old self again. And for swag, you can listen to cafepress.com, the UAV Digest. And if you'd like to help us, and we really appreciate the people who do, go to patreon.com/theuavdigest or check out Cafe Press or the Patreon links on our homepage. So with that, and I got through that without coughing, so that's a good thing. This is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate all of you who do.